Father, we thank you for this precious moment as we gather together in your name here in this place. We thank you that as it is written, unto you shall the gathering of your people be. And where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. And so we welcome you into this place. Thank you for coming in our midst to do us good this morning. We know that every time you come, you always come with your reward. For you are still the rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Thank you for the reward you have brought for your precious people here today. You know the thoughts that you think toward each one under the sound of my voice. They are thoughts of peace, not of evil. They are to give each one of us an expected end. And this morning we just want to surrender all to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in control of the service here today. And we are following in your leading. And you are helping us to access the blessings that the Father has for us today. And none of us will go back home the same way that we have come. Our ears are open to hear what you have to say to us. Our hearts are open to receive your holy instruction this morning. Thank you for speaking unto us, for we are your servants and we have ears to hear what you are saying to us as your church. Thank you also for helping us by your grace, not just to hear your word this morning, but to mix faith with it, so that we may be doers of the word and not hearers only. For in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let us just read the whole chapter together, and then we are going to highlight the verses that we need to pay close attention to this morning. And we believe God that it will give us clear understanding of what he has prepared for us today, in Jesus' name. So let's go. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen and amen. Thank God we all have the mind of Christ. If you are a Christian, you have the mind of Christ. And that is a basic truth that we all have to clearly grasp. Every child of God that is born again through faith in Jesus Christ has the mind of Christ. But not every one of us is using the mind of Christ in our daily living. That's where the problem lies. We have it, but not all of us are using it. And that's why we have to wake up, as Bible says, from our spiritual slumber and receive the light of Christ and walk in it. There is a potential in every one of us as Christians to walk in the same wisdom that Jesus walked in while he was here on earth. Why? Because we all have the same spirit that was upon Jesus while he walked on this earth. And he himself told us very clearly before he left, he said, anyone that believes on him, the works that he did, they will do also. And greater works than he did shall we do. Why? Because he was going to the Father so that the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that was enabling him to do all the works that he did, would be given unto us as his people. Thank God we all have the Holy Spirit in us. And so we have the wisdom of Christ in us. And we have the mind of Christ. And we have the capacity to do everything just as Jesus did. In fact, put your finger there. Let's just look at that scripture and remind ourselves of it so that when you get home, you can meditate in it yourself again. You see, stop looking at yourself as just little me. Well, you may be little on the outside, but there is a giant on the inside of you. You are bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. So stop looking at yourself, relying on your human wisdom. Don't lean on your own human understanding. Take up the mind of Christ, which reasons according to the word of God. That's how the mind of Christ thinks. It thinks in line with the word of God, no matter how the situation may appear to you naturally speaking. You don't see it that way. You see it just as God said. For instance, if your body has pain, your mind naturally tells you are sick. And because of the pain, you are now dysfunctional somehow. But then the mind of Christ tells you, praise God, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the weak say, I am strong. Now the choice is yours. Are you going to rely on your natural human understanding telling you have pain and you are not able to do anything because of the pain? Or are you going to rely rather on the mind of Christ that tells you are already redeemed from the pain because Jesus took that pain on the cross so that you might be able to release your faith in him and enjoy the blessings of redemption every day of your life? You see, God daily, Bible says, daily loads us with benefits in Psalm 68 verse 19. And Jesus also taught us in what we call the Lord's Prayer, to ask the Father to give us each day our daily bread. So you can say, praise God, today I'm healed. This pain has no place in my body because I'm the redeemed of the Lord. And when you do that, you release the power of the Holy Spirit in you to take care of the pain and remove it from you and replace it with what you should have. That's the way it works. That's why the just, Bible says, shall live by faith. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen. Now, let's turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We thank God for His word. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, the word of God is the final authority. There is no greater truth than the word of God. So let's read together verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Well, if the word of God is the final authority, should we argue with what we have just read? No. See, the mind of Christ will read that verse and say, praise God, I'm highly privileged. But the natural mind will say, well, that's a tall order for me. I can't do that. I can't even do anything near what Jesus did. You see, because you are relying on yourself. You are thinking you are the one to do it. Jesus never relied on himself. Remember? He said, what you see me do, it is not I that is doing them. It is the Father in me. You see, that's the key. If Jesus had relied on himself, he would have failed. Because he had on himself the nature of humanity, Bible says. In Philippians chapter 2, he stripped himself of the divine nature that he had with the Father, and he took upon himself the nature of man in order to come and take our place on the cross and bring us into glory. And we have to understand these things. Jesus never healed any sick person by his own power. Jesus never raised Lazarus from the dead by his own power. It was the anointing upon him. Acts chapter 10 verse 38 tells us how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil, because, you see the key, because God was with him. He couldn't have done anything he did here on earth apart from the Holy Spirit helping him. And so he said he was going to the Father so that he could send the Holy Spirit to be inside of us as his church, to empower us to do everything he did. Now, are we all doing exactly what he did? No. Why? Because we are not as knowledgeable as we should be, number one, and we are not as willing as we should be to live by that faith. Many of us, when we read verses like that, we just say, oh no, I really can't do that. Oh, I'm not really Jesus. Oh, I'm not really Jesus. So are we saying then that Jesus is a liar? We said a believer in him. He didn't say the pastors alone. He didn't say the evangelists alone. He didn't say the missionaries alone. He said every believer. Even the least person in the body of Christ has the ability to do everything that Jesus did, if that person will rely on the Holy Spirit. The only thing is, we just have to mature in understanding and begin to live by the wisdom of God. And we realize that, praise God, the same Holy Spirit that enabled Jesus is helping us too. It's no respecter of persons. If we have the faith of Jesus Christ, we will experience the power of the Holy Spirit exactly as Jesus experienced while he was here on earth. Let's also turn quickly to Mark chapter 16. See, once we establish this basic truth, every one of us as Christians will be able to rise up to the heights that Jesus has prepared for us in himself. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, Bible says. So we must not live below our potential. We are to live in the fullness of that which belongs to us in Christ Jesus. But you see, we have to know these things first and foremost, and then through the knowledge that we have, release our faith accordingly and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to do the rest. Mark chapter 16, look at what Jesus said here again, similar to what we just read in John chapter 14. And I'll read from verse 15 for the sake of context. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Notice, them that believe. It didn't say this sign shall follow the pastors alone, or these signs shall follow the apostles alone, or these signs shall follow the prophets alone, or these signs shall follow the evangelist alone. It said these signs shall follow them that believe. Everyone that believes in Christ has the potential to walk in the signs that Jesus spoke about here. Again, the key is not for us to rely on ourselves, because we can't do it on our own. That's why he said, in my name. See, that's the key. The signs follow us not because of our own goodness, our own individual human ability. No, it has nothing to do with self, but everything to do with Christ and his Spirit who lives in us. So the signs follow us if we believe. He said, if we believe and we act upon that belief, these signs will follow us in the name of Jesus. All the signs that are written there will follow us. We can cast out devils like the disciples of Jesus went out in his name and cast out every devil and came back and told him, all the devils, not some of them, all of them were subject to us at thy name. So for us as Christians, we are not afraid of the devil. Say to your neighbor, you are not afraid of the devil, because you have authority over him in the name of Jesus Christ. So believe the truth and live by it. Amen. So every believer ought to be casting out devils everywhere. So if you go somewhere and the devil tries to stop you, you cast him out of the way. I say, get out of the way in Jesus' name. But for that to happen, you have to have faith. Because if you just say it and there is no faith in you, it has no power. The devil will look at you eyeball to eyeball and say, I'm not going anywhere. Because the power to cast him out is not your own. The power is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. And that Holy Spirit only works through your faith. So if what you say has no faith, the Holy Spirit cannot do it. The Holy Spirit responds to faith. We see that all through the Gospels. While Jesus was here on earth, he went many places and he couldn't help everybody except those who had faith. Isn't that so? Why? Because the anointing upon him could not help them without faith. Even though Jesus wanted to help them, he couldn't. He went to his hometown, for instance. He wanted to be a blessing to his own people. That was where he started from. I mean, that's how you and I would do also. We want to, first of all, bless our own people. So he went to his hometown, but they didn't believe on him. So he couldn't do mighty works there, the Bible says. So he left them and went to other places. The anointing was upon him to help them, but he couldn't help them because they lacked faith. That's to tell us that Jesus couldn't just do what he wanted. He himself had to rely on the anointing. And if the anointing doesn't find faith, the anointing cannot work. And many other places, the woman with the issue of blood, for instance, in Mark chapter 5, Bible says thousands were thronging Jesus. And yet Jesus said one person touched him, because only one person had faith. In Luke chapter 5, from verse 17 downwards, we see also Bible telling us that Jesus was in a room on a particular day preaching and teaching, and the power of God was present to heal them. But not one of them got healed until the paralyzed man was brought in with their friends, and Jesus saw their faith. And the power that had been there all along began to work for that person with faith. You see, that's the key. That's why, as Christians, we need to spend time developing ourselves, as Bible says, and building up ourselves in our most holy faith. Because if we are not building up ourselves in our most holy faith, we are going to make the Holy Spirit in us to be dormant. He has all the power to help us in all areas of life, but he cannot help us without faith. So Jesus said, these signs will follow all those who believe on him. So stop, esteeming yourself with a low esteem. Begin to see yourself exactly as Jesus says you are. His word is the truth. So the signs will follow those who believe. And now look at what then happened. Let's drop down that same Mark chapter 16. Just to help you to look away from yourself. So stop thinking that it's you that will do it. You don't have power to cast out devil. You don't have power to make somebody who is sick to recover. You don't have it. I don't have it except through the Holy Spirit that we all have. So it's not based on my own power. It's not based on your own power. It is based on the power of God who lives in us, the Holy Spirit himself. Now look at verse 20. And they went forth. In other words, they obeyed what Jesus said. They went to preach. Like he said, go and preach and get people to believe so that the signs could follow the believers. And so they went forth and preached everywhere. Now please underline your Bible, the Lord. The Lord walking with them. The Lord walking with them. The Lord walking with them. They went preaching. But they were not the ones doing the works. You see the key? They just went declaring the word. And the Lord himself was walking to confirm the word with signs following. In other words, as they went, the Holy Spirit, the Lord there, literally is referring to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ that was upon them. Remember, Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that they will receive power after that the Holy Ghost had come upon them. And then they will be witnesses unto him everywhere. Let's just put it that way. So the Lord that was walking with them to confirm the word was the anointing, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. So as they went preaching, just obeying Christ and preaching the word of Christ, not preaching their own word. They were preaching the word of Christ. They weren't saying, well, you know, I'm Peter, born a fisherman, now a fisher of men. I used to fish in the sea, but now I fish for men. Look to me and you will know that there's a mighty prophet in town. No, that wasn't the message they were preaching. They were preaching Christ. They went everywhere preaching Christ. They weren't preaching themselves. They didn't even count themselves important at all. All that was of importance to them was Jesus, their Savior. And so everywhere they went, they just preached Christ. And because of that, Jesus himself by his Spirit was going everywhere with them. And he was the one that was confirming the word with signs following. So any miracles that the apostles did, it was not them that did it. It was the anointing. So therefore, for you and for me also, everything we do according to the will of God and we get success is not us. It is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, thank God for the Holy Spirit. He is in you. Amen. All right, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2. Get your pen and paper. I'm going to highlight some points and I will encourage you to go back home and meditate in them. And I believe the Holy Spirit will give you even much more understanding than we can get firsthand. You see, faith doesn't come by hearing the word of God once. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing again and again and again. And again and again and again and keep hearing. The more you keep hearing the word, the more faith will come to you. It's as simple as that. There's so much in the Word of God that we cannot just wake up overnight and exhaust everything. You can read this Bible from Genesis to Revelation for 1,000 years, and I guarantee you, for those 1,000 years, every time you go over even the things you have read before, you'll find something new again. Not really new. It's been there all along, but you didn't see it. The Holy Spirit just opened your eyes to see it now. That's the way it works. Because what has been from the beginning is what we are talking about, the Word of God. It has been from the beginning. It is not when you catch the revelation of the truth that the Holy Spirit just wrote that verse. No, it's been there all along. But your eyes were not opened to see it. And so when the time comes for the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see it, then you will see it. And then I say, praise God, now I can see clearly. I can see it better now. Hallelujah. But you see, we have to pay the price. Faith comes by hearing over and over and over and over again, even what we have heard, so that we can have a teachable spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to bring us to a greater understanding of the truth that we need to live by as Christians. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now we are going to pay very close attention to a couple of verses here. And as I said, I'm going to give you some points to take home. But the passage we have read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in a nutshell, is helping us to understand that there's a difference between the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. In other words, there's a difference between natural wisdom that we can go to school and learn, and the wisdom of God, which we can learn from any school, really. The Holy Spirit teaches us the wisdom of God. So once we understand that as Christians, we will know the limit of our natural wisdom. And we will only apply it to natural things. We can't bring natural wisdom into spiritual things. For instance, I don't need anybody to tell me that if I put my finger in fire, it will burn me. Isn't that so? My finger will be burnt. So that's natural wisdom. I don't even need the Holy Spirit to help me with that one. I mean, if I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell me, don't put your finger in fire, then something is wrong with me. That's natural wisdom. But then, when it comes to spiritual things, I cannot rely on that kind of wisdom and say, well, if I put my finger in fire, it may burn me. Well, God may tell me, put your finger right there in that fire for a purpose now. And if I've heard him clearly, if I do it, I won't be burnt. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Aha. So that's spiritual now. But if on their own they decided to jump into the fiery furnace, who can tell us what would have happened to them? They would all have been burnt to ashes. This same Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have been burnt to ashes if they had been the ones jumping into the fiery furnace of their own volition. Maybe to prove a point that they are special Hebrew children. We are God's covenant children. Let me show you that I'm a child of God. Pew, into the fire. That would have been the end of them. Or if Daniel had decided that, well, I'm a Daniel, a man beloved of God, let me prove to you that I'm a child of God, and then he decides to jump in the lion's den, well, they would have made a good meal of him. And what would have been reading in the Bible would have been, there was once a man, a foolish man called Daniel, who jumped in the lion's den and died. Well, you see, he didn't jump in the lion's den. They threw him in there. And he had faith. And God shut the mouth of the lion. Remember, the devil tried to play a trick on Jesus when he told him, well, if you are the Son of God, you see the key? If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. In other words, why would I deliberately tempt God? You know, particularly the second temptation, when he told him, well, jump now. God has said he will give his angels charge over you. And Jesus said, well, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In other words, why should I deliberately jump? It's a different thing if somebody tries to push me off the cliff in order to kill me. Then I can rely on God to keep me according to his word. So we have to understand these things. Know the limit of natural wisdom and know the limit of spiritual wisdom. Say to your neighbor, there is a difference between natural wisdom and spiritual wisdom. Don't use natural wisdom for spiritual things. It will not work. Amen. So, in a nutshell, that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is all about. Helping us to understand there's a difference between natural wisdom and spiritual. And that is why also when you are listening to a preacher, don't just listen to the natural wisdom that the preacher is communicating to you. Because we are living in the last days, Bible says, and there are many false preachers out there. And Bible tells us that they are going to come with enticing words of human wisdom. You see, it's nothing new. It happened in the days of Paul. And there's really nothing new. The only difference is that we're having more now in these last days than then. But it's exactly the same thing. Let's back up again to verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Let me pause there for a moment. Today we call it motivational speaking. It's exactly the same thing. It's just rebranded in a new name. Have you not heard? Motivational speaker. Well, if the word of God as it is written cannot motivate you, something is wrong with you. Because if you are receiving the word of God as the word of God in truth, the Holy Spirit in you will rise up when he hears the word. Remember when Elizabeth, the pregnant Elizabeth, pregnant with John the Baptist, visited Mary. What did the Bible say happened? As soon as she greeted her, the baby in her womb jumped. Why? Because there is a stirring of the Holy Spirit in her. When you are hearing the word of God in truth, something will stir up in you if it is of God. So if you need man to specially motivate you, something is wrong. You better be careful. They will only be appealing to your emotions and stir you up emotionally. But then after you've left the service, the devil will meet you on the way home. And you'll find out that you don't have anything on the inside to resist him, because all that you had was just motivational speaking. The power of God is not there. Philosophy makes sense, doesn't it? It's reasonable. It will tell you logical things, things that are reasonable as far as human wisdom is concerned. But then when it comes to spiritual things, it can't help you. We have an enemy to deal with, who is spirit. And there is no human wisdom that can defeat the devil, because the devil already corrupted human wisdom in the Garden of Eden. The only way to defeat the devil is through the wisdom of God himself. Look at this verse along with me. Verse 7 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world, unto our glory. In other words, there is a wisdom of God that God prepared for us from the foundation of the world that is reserved for us, not for the people of this world. In order to bring us into the fullness of the glory of God and make us walk in that glory even while we are here on earth. In case you have forgotten, let me remind you. Isaiah chapter 60 tells us that while we are here in this world, there's going to come a time of darkness and perplexity. The people of the world will be confused. Governments will be confused. We don't need a prophet to tell us today. Even governments are confused. They don't know what to do. The so-called experts are confused. Even multinational businesses are confused. They are trying to merge together all mergeables and and non-mergeables. If you allow me to put it that way. And with all the mergings, they are still failing. Because none of them understands that the person they are dealing with is the devil. He has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And there is no man that can withstand the devil relying on natural wisdom. The wisdom of this world, Bible says, comes to nothing. It comes to nothing. At the end of the day, look at verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Please underline that in your Bible. The wisdom of this world at the end of the day will lead you into nothingness. It will bring you to total loss. It may seem to be right. You head in that way, but eventually at the end, you lose out. Because Bible says the wisdom of this world comes to nothing. So it's a waste of time relying on natural wisdom, particularly when it comes to spiritual things. Forget about it. Don't even let your mind get in the way of the word of God. Just tell your mind, shut up. You don't know anything. God said, and that's it. Full stop. No other consideration. No reasoning where the word of God is concerned. If God says it, that's the end of the matter. There is no point debating it. There is no point trying to look at it another way. Full stop, matter ended. Because if you try to reason, the devil will give you several reasons why what God said should not be what you should do. Was that not what he did in the garden? Came to the woman, very cunning, crafty. The first thing he said to the woman, as God said, see the cunningness of the devil, challenging the word of God. As God said, and the woman was foolish enough to engage in conversation with the devil. And Adam standing by her also was foolish enough to allow everything to continue. Both of them were equally guilty. Because Adam could have said, well, serpent, what audacity do you have to come and be telling us, as God said, get lost? And that would have been the end of the matter. But I'm sure himself had been thinking of that particular tree for a long time. Why is it, why? What's about this tree? This only one. How come we can eat from all the others? Why not this one? See, when you begin to try to reason out the word of God, you open the door for the devil. Say that to your neighbor. When you try to reason out the word of God with the natural mind, you open the door to the devil. You can only reason the word of God with your spiritual mind, called the mind of Christ. Amen. The mind of Christ never argues with the word of God or argues against the word of God. It just agrees with it. That's it. If God says, by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed, praise God, I don't need the doctor to tell me whether I'm healed or not. I thank God, God cannot lie. How are you going to be healed when the doctor says it's incurable? Well, the doctor is a man like me. He doesn't know everything. His knowledge is limited. My knowledge is limited. But God has limitless knowledge. And he knows how to make a way where there seems to be no way. Was that not the mistake that the king's officer made? Remember, when the prophet said, well, hear ye the word of the Lord. Tomorrow at the gates of Samaria, the years of famine you have known is coming to an end. Not just an end, but a miracle is happening at the gate. There will be plenty. The king's officer said, wait a minute. Even if God or to open the windows of heaven. Shall these things be? The prophet said, well, you see it, oh, because God cannot lie. But you, because you don't believe. So you see it just to prove to you that God cannot lie. But you that has doubted, you cannot partake of it. Because you need faith to partake of the blessings of God. And it came to pass exactly as God said. The man saw it, but while he was seeing it, they trampled on him and he died. That's the way it works. Who would have known that there was a way through the Red Sea? Nobody. But God knew all along. So when Moses was standing there and crying to God, God said, what are you crying to me for? What do you have in your hand? And God is saying that to many of us today in the church. What are you crying to me for? What do you have in your hand? This is the rod. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is the rod of God. The rod of correction is the word. The staff is the Holy Spirit. The two go together. God said, Moses, I gave you a rod. Use it. Stretch it over the water. I tell you, this word is powerful. There is no situation in your life that is not subject to the word of God. When you release your faith in the word of God, the power of God will go into operation and do miracles that you never thought could happen to you. Because our God is awesome. And his word is equally awesome. Because God and his word are one and the same. Now look at what the Bible says there. In verse 7 again. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom. Hidden. They can't know it. But we know it as Christians. The people of the world can't know it, so it's hidden. They are blinded to it because the Holy Spirit is the only one that opens our eyes to the wisdom of God. And if they don't have the Holy Spirit, they can't get it. That's why we're privileged people as the church, and we need to wake up and take advantage of what we have, which the people of the world don't have. There is so much treasure of God in us, in these earthen vessels that we have, Bible says, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now let's read verse 8 together. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Isn't that wonderful? None of the princes of this world knew the wisdom of God that was hidden for us, which Christ brought for us. Even the devil didn't know it. He had an idea because God told him in the garden that the seed of the woman will bruise his head. And from that time, he's been wondering which one. That's why he's been killing all people through the ages until Christ came. Because he didn't know how God was going to bring it to pass. He didn't know. And finally, when he recognized that this is the one, this is the Son of God, Jesus. Remember, the devils knew him when he finally came as a man. They said, we know who you are. You are Christ, the Son of God. Jesus told them, shut up and come out. When they finally knew him, the devil said, this is the one. All right then. When I make people blind, it will open their eyes. When I kill people, it brings them back to life. When I make people have sorrow, it turns their sorrow to joy. It's spoiling my works. The best way to deal with the matter is to get rid of him. See, that's how natural wisdom thinks. I mean, you and I in the same situation, that's how we think. Today, every one of us here, whatever our problems are, if somebody should ask us, how do we get it? Well, the only way is just get rid of this problem. If this person is my enemy, the best thing is for the person to die. So when they die, I will be free. That's natural wisdom, but that's not the wisdom of God. So the devil said, well, the best thing is to kill this Son of God. Once I kill him, then when I make people blind, nobody can open their eyes. When I kill people, nobody can bring them back to life. You see, he failed. He did not know that through the death of this one son of God, many other sons will be raised unto God. He killed one. Now many have come alive. You and I, as we just read, can go everywhere doing the works of Christ. There are many more Jesus Christ on this earth now than the one that was walking the streets of Galilee. But you see, we need to wake up and allow the Holy Spirit to do the works in us all. Hallelujah. Now let's focus on a couple of verses here. That's where we are going this morning. We need to know. We need to know by the wisdom of God what we have as Christians. All the privileges that are available for us, who we are in Christ and what we have in Him. Verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So we have received the spirit of God, not of the world, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, so that we might know what belongs to us as Christians. So that we might know what is ours in Christ. All the privileges that we have. All the benefits and blessings that we have in Christ. God wants us to know. Why? Because God tells us in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 that ignorance will bring destruction to our lives. God doesn't want us to be destroyed. We are people that are saved. And the number one thing we have to get rid of in our lives is ignorance. The devil takes advantage of our ignorance. It's as simple as that. That's why Jesus said, when you know the truth will make you free. But when you are ignorant, the devil will sell you a lie and you will believe a lie. The devil will tell you there is no way for you. You are finished. Nobody ever overcame this kind of situation that you find yourself in. Just forget it. Throw in the towel and quit. That's the end for you. That's what the devil is going to tell you. If you don't know the truth. But if you know the truth, just tell him, shut up, devil. Shut up, you lying spirit. Praise God, Jehovah, my God in whom is everlasting strength, never fails to make a way for his own. The righteous man may fall 7 times, but 7 times the Lord will pick him up again. Praise the Lord. I'm not falling. I'm standing up on the everlasting rock, Jesus. I cannot fall. And then you just find the power of God rising up for you and giving you the victory. Because you have chosen the way of faith. That's the way it works. But if you believe the lie of the devil, then you just limit yourself. And there's nothing the Holy Spirit can do to help you because you lack faith. The just shall live by faith. Amen. So we have the Spirit of God in order to know the things that are freely given to us of God. Say to your neighbor, God wants you to know everything that is available for you as a Christian. Amen. Now please write this down go home and meditate on them. The first point we want to highlight is that God wants us to know what belongs to us in Christ. God wants every one of us, not just the pastors, everybody. If you're a Christian, God wants you to know. He wants everybody to know the truth. God wants us to know what belongs to us in Christ. Because ignorance is a very costly thing and robs us of God's provision for us. So ignorance is costly and it will rob us of what belongs to us. In front of that, please write these two scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, which we just read, and Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. which we all know very well. My people are destroyed, God said. He says, he's not talking about those who are not his own. He's talking about those who are his own people, you and I. We are destroyed because of our lack of knowledge. That's why Jesus said to those who believe on him to continue in the world. You have to continue in the world. Don't start and stop. Continue in the world until Jesus comes back for you. We don't graduate from the word of God. And we don't retire from the word of God. We may retire from natural things, but never from the things of God. We just continue until Christ comes back to take us home. Secondly, please write this down. What belongs to us in Christ covers all aspects of life. In case you are wondering, well, what are the things? Just say, well, everything that covers all my needs in life. Jesus has already provided all these things for me. In front of that, please write the scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. In context, you can read it from verses 2 to 4. We all know what is there. Bible tells us that according to God's own divine power, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Read it from verse 2 to 4. But there, what Bible is teaching us in a nutshell is that according to God's own divine power, it's not talking about human power now, but God's own power himself, which Jesus brought down from heaven for us. According to that divine power, God himself has given us all things, not some, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge. You see, again, we have to know. Through the knowledge of him who has called us unto glory and virtue. So, it covers all areas of life. And then, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. You know what is there also? Bible tells us God has blessed us with all, not some, all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, all areas of life. So whether we are talking about healing or health, prosperity, peace, protection, preservation, breakthroughs, victories, favors, you name it. Every good thing that is godly. The only thing that Jesus has not provided for us are evil things. But if something is good, if something will help your life to progress in the will of God, it's already covered in the package of Jesus' redemption for you. Thirdly, please write this down. Actually, in Christ, there is no lack of any good thing. In other words, everything that is good is already covered in your life. So that's why you can wake up every morning, no matter what may be happening in the world around you, you can wake up in the morning dancing and rejoicing in the Lord and saying, praise God, I'm blessed. It's the day that the Lord has made. It's a day of blessing for me. Someone says, didn't you hear the news yesterday? The economy is upside down. Everything is failing. In fact, the government also owes so much money now, the government is collapsing. Well, just tell them, my kingdom never collapses. That's the kingdom of the world. I'm in the world, I'm not of the world. My citizenship is heavenly. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. We are all citizens of heaven if we are Christians. So stop seeing yourself as a citizen of UK, a citizen of wherever. That's just natural. And also stop seeing yourself as, oh, I'm just a Benjamite. Oh, I'm just of this tribe. Oh, I'm just of that country. No. If you're a Christian, you belong in the family of God. Bible says, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. You see, we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We are no longer natural. As Christians, first and foremost, we are supernatural beings. Because the Holy Spirit lives in us. We carry the presence of God in us. God is not natural. You are not natural. Stop looking at yourself as the reflection you see in the mirror. You are more than what you see in the mirror. The glory of God is in you. The fullness of God's measure and weight dwells in you. That's what glory means. Everything that God is, His heavyweight is in you. How can you be natural carrying that much of God? But the devil wants you to see yourself, oh well, you're just a little worm. You remember your background, you're just a little worm. Oh, you have that tribe, forget about them. Nobody even cares about it. Oh, you have that country. No, insignificant country. No. You are a citizen of heaven. Thank God for Jesus. So, actually, in Christ, there is no lack of any good thing. In front of that, Psalm 23, verse 1, and Psalm 34, verse 10. We all know those scriptures very well. Psalm 23 verse 1, we all read it all the time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, if Jesus is your shepherd, you don't lack anything. Because He has all the provision for you. He came down from heaven bringing everything for you. So that you may have the days of heaven here on earth. And Psalm 34 verse 10, Bible says there, even the young lions, they may lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord, they shall not lack any good thing. Well, can God lie? But how can we say, I still lack this, I still lack that? It's because we are thinking with the human mind. We don't deny the fact that we have some lack on the outside. But the key is this, we have to take up the mind of Christ to enjoy the power of God to change our situation for us. Faith is the key. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith and sight don't go together. So when I'm sick, faith says, praise God, I'm the healed, I'm not the sick. Someone says, but you are lying. No, I'm telling the truth. The devil is the liar. He's the one trying to steal my health. Because healing and health belongs to me. Jesus gave it to me. That's my portion. I reject what the devil wants to give to me because he's the thief. Say to your neighbor, it's time to get violent. In the spirit. We've been too timid for too long. And God doesn't like that. Put your finger there with me and turn quickly with me to Matthew. You see, Jesus told us that right from the day, we all know that scripture very well, right from the day of John the Baptist until now. When is now? Even now that I'm speaking to you. Isn't that so? Matthew 11 verse 12. Let's read together. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. You can't take the things of the kingdom by timidity. That's why the Bible says, come boldly. Say to your neighbor, be bold. You are a child of God. The glory of God is in you. You are more than a conqueror. Praise the Lord. So stop looking at yourself as one defeated person. And then, you know, you are carrying your shield. You've been so wounded. And you are dragging it on the floor. And you are just going like, oh my. If somebody knows what I'm going through, all the weight of the world is on my shield. Oh God, why me? Why did you allow this? Oh, stop that. You're a child of God. You rise up in the midst of battle and say, praise the Lord. They that be with me are more than they that be against me. Was that not what David was saying? In Psalm 27? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies and my foes came upon me to heat up my flesh. They stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. What gave one man that kind of boldness to say, even though an host? Some of us, only one person will rise up against us and we run. But this one is saying, even though a whole host come against me, one man, I won't be afraid of them. You realize he wasn't relying on himself. He was bold. When the lion came to take one of his father's flock, he didn't say, well, my father won't miss that one. But he will miss me. If the lion hits me, he will miss me. But the goat or the sheep, well, lion, take as much as you like. When I get back home, I tell my father, a lion came. My father even praised me. I said, thank God you hid yourself, because I can do without the goat and the sheep. But you are my son. No, not that boy. He said, lion, you want to take my father's flock? Where did you come from? You have come to the wrong address, though, because my father gave me charge over this flock. You can't take any. Never! Kill the lion. A bear also came. Said, bear, where are you coming from? My father's flock? No. So when he stood before Saul and gave him testimony of what had happened, Saul himself looked at him. With your hand? Without any weapon? You kill lion? You kill bear? This one is he's still a little boy. How did he do all these things? Okay, go then, go. But take my hammer. If your hammer is so strong, how come you are hiding from Goliath? I don't go by natural means. I go by supernatural. Because when I killed the bear, I didn't kill the bear by my strength. I relied on God that had always been praising all along. See, when you've been spending time with God, you'll know where your strength is coming from. Hallelujah. So, the violent, take it by force. Get violent in the spirit. Don't get violent in the physical. You'll get into trouble. Again, remember, we are talking about spiritual things, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Some people will say, well, I get violent. Oh, that person is my enemy. I'll go and punch the daylights out of them. And then the police will arrest you. God never told you to go and, fight in the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, we need to understand these things. Instead of that, go on your knees and begin to pray. And let God deal with this person or the situation for you. Don't take the law into your own hands. You get in trouble. Get violent in the spirit, not in the flesh. The flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit that gives life. Hallelujah. All right, so now write this now. So, excuse me. Now, we need to translate knowledge into personal experience. That's where a lot of us fail as Christians. Many of us have so much knowledge, but the knowledge is not profiting us anything. To know is the first step, but that's not the end. It's the means to an end. Because if what you know, if you cannot apply it, it is useless. It is only knowledge that you apply that will profit you. For instance, if I know that this is a television box, it will not profit me until I know how to use it and use it well and get results with it. So I have to understand how to use the knowledge that I have to profit thereby. So knowledge has to be translated into personal experience through faith. That's how you take knowledge into personal experience of fulfillment, if you like, to personal fulfillment, so you can then personally taste of it. It's like, you go, for instance, into the kitchen, you prepare food. The food is prepared. But that doesn't mean that food is of any use to you until you eat it. Isn't that so? It is the eating of the food that will benefit your body. But in order to eat the food, you have to first of all prepare it. So knowledge can be seen in that way. Knowledge prepares you in order to have the blessing. But until that knowledge becomes part of you in terms of really being a doer of that word, you cannot profit from it. So that's why Bible says, don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers, so that you may profit thereby. So we need faith. So what we know, we have to carry out in faith or apply faith to it in order to profit. James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, and Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. So what we need, to do is to translate our knowledge or get our knowledge to become a means of having the word of God or promises of God fulfilled in our lives. Finally, write this down. This is because, in other words, the reason why we need to translate knowledge into personal experience through faith is because faith is what connects us with the power of God, the Holy Spirit, who performs God's word in our lives with signs following. So if you want the Holy Spirit, so I'm going to repeat that again. This is because faith is what connects us with the power of God, the Holy Spirit, who performs God's word in our lives with signs following. You see, for instance, the reason why you can hear what I'm saying through this microphone is because it is plugged in to electricity socket. If I remove the plug from the socket and I'm speaking into this mic, you won't hear anything anymore. There's a connection that is making what I'm saying to be amplified to your hearing. So it's the same thing. Faith must connect us with the power of God, because we need the power of God to get the word of God fulfilled in our lives. We can't do it on our own. We can't make God's word come to pass in our human strength. It is the Holy Spirit that will perform it, and the Holy Spirit needs my faith before it can do anything for me personally. That's why I said we need to translate knowledge to personal experience, because someone else may be benefiting from the same knowledge that I have, and yet I have that knowledge and I'm not benefiting from it. Why? Because, well, that person is applying faith to their knowledge, and therefore they are profiting thereby, but I'm not applying faith to my knowledge. And I'm just saying, I know, but I'm not a doer of what I know. Therefore, it's not of any profit to me, spiritually speaking. So in front of that, please write the scripture, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. Mark 16, verse 20, which we read a short while ago. The Lord himself was the one walking with them, confirming the word with signs following. And Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. There we find the father of faith, Abraham, before he received Isaac, after he had made the mistake with Ishmael. He came to understand the proper way of faith. He did not stagger the promise of God anymore through unbelief, Bible says, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God also was able to perform. Notice the key. He was fully persuaded. No doubt now that what God had said, God himself is the one that has the ability to perform. He wasn't trying to help him anymore. He waited and I seek him. Now, please write this under your notes so when you are studying it. Faith, biblically, has three ways that we must express it. And all the three must be fulfilled for faith to be what it is. This is the only time the Holy Spirit will help us, because many of us don't put all the three parts together. You know how it is when you try to cook a particular meal, but you miss the ingredient. It won't taste right, will it? You need to put all the ingredients in place, and then you have the correct foodstuff. The three parts are, one, the heart. The heart must believe the word. Two, the mouth must speak the word. So if you say, well, you want God to help you, You want to see God's promises fulfilled in your life, you must believe it with your heart. And then you must be speaking it with your mouth. Don't speak against the word of God. Don't confess what is contrary to the word of God. You see, you believe and you confess. For those two, please write Romans chapter 10, verses 6 to 10 and read it. Because it tells us our faith that is righteous in God's sight operates. The word is in your heart and in your mouth. And the third part of faith is the action or the deed of faith. James chapter 2, and just read it from about verse 20 to 26. There we learn that faith without works is not profitable. In other words, faith has to be backed up with action that really shows that I'm in faith. For instance, let me give you an illustration. If, like I said a while ago, if I have pain in my body, I can feel the pain. It's real to me. And then the devil begins to say, well, you are sick, you know. This pain is going to kill you. And if I agree with him, well, that's exactly what will happen. But if I put on the mind of Christ and I say, praise the Lord, Jesus took my pain. Isaiah prophesied it. In Isaiah 53, Jesus came and he fulfilled it. He took my pain. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. And with his stripes I'm healed. Praise God, the pain is not my portion, healing is my portion in the name of Jesus. So what am I doing? I'm speaking with my mouth in agreement with the word of God in faith, and I'm speaking that because I believe it with my heart. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13 says, we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. So I'm saying it. And then what should I then do next to complete the process? That's where many of us fail. We get the first two right. We believe with the heart. We confess with the mouth. But the action does not show that we have faith. And God says faith without works is dead being alone. Okay, I have pain. The pain is killing me. I'm just going to lie down here, you know. Oh, I'm just going to lie down here. The pain is killing me. Oh God, no, I shouldn't be saying the pain is killing me. Oh, I believe God. Jesus took the pain. Oh Lord, I thank you. Jesus took my pain. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. But then, I'm acting like a sick person. It doesn't match. Someone says, but I know, but I'm sick. I really need to lie down. Well, you may need to rest. Fine. God also gives us rest. But you are not resting because of the pain. You are resting just because you want to rest. So you get up from that bed and put action to your faith and say, praise God, the pain is not holding me down. If you need to lean on the wall just to walk around your house as a step of your faith, you do that initially. Or get something to support your way and say, praise God, I'm the healed and not the sick. I'm walking about pain. You can't hold me down. In the name of Jesus. And then when you've done that for a while, then you can just say, I just want to take a rest. Not because of the pain. I just want to rest the body. Hallelujah. And that's in order. That's another. And I guarantee you, in most cases, by the time you've really put action to your faith, the pain will be gone anyway. So when you are just resting, you are just resting just to gather the body cells together in order. That is the key. Say to your neighbor, thank God for Jesus. He's done it all. Let's take advantage of it. In Jesus' name. In praying this morning, let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. No matter what your need may be, it's included in the package that we find there in Galatians chapter 3. So before we go, let's touch and agree together that what Jesus has brought for us, we all possess. We possess by faith. It's just by faith. Someone says, is there any other extra thing? Don't we need to do any extra? No, because the power to perform it is not our own. It is the power of God. And all that he needs from us is just faith. Simple, childlike faith, period. And he will do the rest. He will do the rest. No matter what your need may be. That problem you have or the problem I have this morning came because of the curse. But we've been redeemed from the curse. So every problem, everything contrary to God's will in your life, you have been redeemed from it because all those things are under the curse. And you should be having the blessing, so you release your faith accordingly. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive this promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith. In other words, again, through believing the word with the heart, through confessing the word with your mouth, and through the action of faith. The three go together. Through believing, if you just substitute through faith there with what Bible teaches us about faith, we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So I receive the promise of the Spirit through believing it with my heart, confessing it with my mouth, and acting in line with that belief. So my action shows I believe the word, my heart's thoughts agree with the word, and confession of my mouth agree with the word. Well, are you the redeemed of the Lord this morning? You are. So Bible says, say so. Right where you are, seated this morning, whatsoever your need may be, whatsoever the situation, whatsoever the challenge, whatsoever the trouble, I want you to speak out of your mouth, because you believe with your heart that you are the redeemed of the Lord. You say to that situation, call it by name, and say, whatsoever it is, I want you to know that I know who I am, and I know what God has freely given to me in Christ, because I have the Spirit of truth in me. Therefore, I say to you, if it's sickness, you say, well, sickness, I say to you, I am the redeemed of the Lord. I believe with all my heart that I'm redeemed from you, sickness. And I'm saying so with my mouth in Jesus' name. And I'm acting as someone that is healed, not as someone that is sick. And I give God the glory for my healing right now, in Jesus' name. So go ahead and do that. Believe with the heart, confess with your mouth, and purpose to act like a believer. And now we are going to just praise God and give him the glory. That was what Abraham did. Turn with me again to Romans chapter 4. That's the way to get it. Remember, he didn't struggle to have Isaac. He struggled to have Ishmael. And Ishmael caused him plenty of problem, and is still causing problem all over the world today. But he didn't struggle for Isaac. He just believed God and believed the power of God to perform it. And Isaac came. Your Isaacs will come. The promises of God will come to pass in your life. Your breakthroughs will come. Your miracles will come. Your victories will come. They cannot stop. They will come to pass, because your faith will possess them by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. But you have to give the glory to God ahead of time. Faith gives God glory because it believes and it knows that it is a done deal, in the name of Jesus. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, keyword, therefore, because of that, because of the action of faith, because he believed, because he declared it, and because he acted accordingly, and he began to give God glory, he began to praise God for Isaac, for the promise of God that will be fulfilled in his life. God in heaven noticed the faith of Abraham and sent Isaac through the same womb that Sarah said 14 years ago could not have a child anymore. 14 years after. 14 years after the woman said, it's too late for me. 14 years after, not the next year, for scientists to say, well, maybe she miscalculated. 14 years after, the God of miracles brought his word to pass. The God of miracles will bring his word to pass in your life, In Jesus' name, begin to give him the glory now. We bless you, Lord. Oh, we praise you. Let's rise to our feet. We magnify your name, oh God. We bless you, faithful and true God. Thank you. Thank you for your promises. They are yea and amen in every life here this morning. No matter what the needs may be, according as each one of us have believed with our heart and confessed with our mouth and taken the steps of faith in agreement with your word, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit performing it and bringing it to pass. And you take all the glory, O God. We give it all to you. We bless you. We praise you, for you are faithful, who has promised.